We're on Matthew chapter 6 today. We finished chapter 5, and that's good if you can share a Bible there. Matthew chapter 6. Now this section, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, are in this section that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus had his disciples close to him, the 12, and then there was a crowd around, and he was giving them teaching. And this is teaching that has to do with discipleship. What are those who follow him? How are they going to live? How are they going to function? What are their standards going to be? And so we have here instructions for those who would follow the Lord Jesus, who become his disciples. And in chapter 5, we were noticing his interpretation of the law, that Jesus says, sin is not just things you do outwardly. Sin is your it begins in your thinking. For example, it isn't only that murder is sin, but if you hate someone, if you have a wrong attitude, you have sinned. And he speaks of the matter of adultery. He says, it isn't only the sexual act that is sin. He says, the thought is wrong, and it's sinful if a person is looking with lust in his heart at someone else. So he talks about here concerning the law and how it isn't just the externals God's concerned about, it's the heart. Now, chapter 6, I'm going to read beginning with verse 1. He says, take heed that you do not do your righteous acts or righteous deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, an act of giving, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This section I call humility. Humility is required. This is what the Lord Jesus is talking about. And he emphasizes humility as seen in different ways. Much that's done in the way of religious activity and works is done, Jesus says, so that people will notice and people will see. I suppose there are many people who've gone to church this morning because they feel, if I'm not there, maybe my friends will notice it and they will think something is wrong with me. I'm not being good. I'm not being religious. I should go to church. And so there are all kinds of religious activities, you know, that people do. Today there are people that are giving to the church because they feel if I don't give, maybe they'll post a list or something of even those who are delinquent, aren't giving to the church. Some churches do this. One way or another, I give and I do things so people will notice. And so that they will think, my, isn't that person religious? Look how good he is. And Jesus is hitting at that, at these different areas. Bruce?
Part of the wall of the old temple left, and they wear their robes and their hats, and they want to be seen reading the Bible and praying. So they are.
Yes. Yeah, there are many public displays, aren't there? Well, anyway, the Lord here is now talking to his people, and he's encouraging them. Verse 1, he says, take heed that you do not do your, and the thought is literally your righteous deeds, your good deeds. You see, in chapter 5, he's talked about your thinking and about your attitudes and so forth, some of your general actions. But here he talks about what we would call our religious actions. And he says, be very careful that you don't do any of these things simply with a goal of being seen by men so that people will think, my, that's a good person. My, he's religious. Don't do anything in this way to be seen by men. You do what you're doing in the eye of God. Now he talks first of all about these charitable deeds or alms, and he talks about three kinds of righteousness. One is in giving these alms, when you're giving toward men, a righteous act, a good act toward men. And you know, they didn't have Social Security and they didn't have welfare in those days, so there was a lot of public giving, or should I say, giving from those that were more wealthy to those that were poorer. And in the Old Testament, the Lord urged his people. He said, now you be concerned for the poor. You help the poor. You do what you can. But here, it had fallen into the case where they were making a big thing about it, a big display. Maybe a man would make an announcement, or someone would come out even with a trumpet to call attention to what was going on. And all the poor people come, and here's so-and-so, and he's going to give money to the poor. And everyone comes running, and there's a big display, and here's this rich man handing out his money. And people are saying, my, isn't he good? He'll get lots of reward from God. Now, Jesus here says, look, if you're giving, if you're doing this act of kindness for others, or giving to the church for that matter, any act of giving this way, he says, don't do it for display. Don't do it for an outward show. You do it for God. You do it in as secretive a way as possible. Don't make a big display or a big show of it. You have a lot of giving today. This is the kind of thing that is done, isn't it? Many groups, for example, if you give to them, whether they're a church group or some other charitable organization, they will publish a list of the names of donors. They may even publish a list of those who have given more than $500 this year, or whatever it is. And there's a public display. And the Lord here says giving should be to the Lord himself and a secret activity, not for display. He says, if you do it for display, and people say, my, you were generous. Just think how much you gave. Then the Lord says, you have received your reward. Don't expect any from God. You wanted to get the praise of men, and you got it. You got what you went after. So don't think in terms of God ever praising you for what you did. You did it for men, and men praised you, and so you got your reward. So there's something very practical there, isn't there? And there's lots of giving today where there's a big display. It's sad to see many times, you know, people will give, and there may even be little brass plates put on the things they give, pointing out that so-and-so gave this to the church. I remember once going to a chapel in a college down in Oklahoma. And I think everything in the chapel had been given by someone. You went around, you saw little brass plates on the chairs, the pews. You saw them on the stained glass windows. You saw it on the speaker stand. Everything had a little plate on it. And somebody gave so much money to buy this. And so in order that everyone will recognize they've given money, here's this little brass plate, as long as it stands, that will designate they have given. The Lord says, you give. If you give, and when you give because you're giving to God and not just for a show before men. The next area he talks about is the area of prayer. And this is an activity, really, that is directed toward God, not toward people so much as toward God. When we pray, we're supposedly praying toward God, aren't we? And so the Lord here gives some warning about this, because he says, hypocrites love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. They like to make an outward display. They like to impress people with their religion. And so they would stand even on the corners and pray, take a devout stance and be praying for a long time. People walk by and they'd say, shh, he's praying. Isn't he religious? Look at that. There he stands and he's praying to God. And the Lord says, look, don't make a display of your prayer. Do most of your praying at home. You know, go into your bedroom where nobody sees you but God. Aren't you talking to God anyway? Why are you trying to impress other people? And so he warns about this kind of thing. Now, there are three things he says about prayer that should mark it. One is it should be, generally speaking, secret. He says, you pray to your Father who sees in secret. Most of our praying should be that way. Now, we do have some praying in meetings like this, but here we're not going to do it for display either. And it's just a small part of our praying, hopefully. I hope the only time you pray isn't when you come to meetings. This is just a small part of it. But in the whole area, then praying is to be directed toward God, and we have to guard ourselves against thinking, well, what do other people think of my prayer if we do pray in public or in a group? And it should be always with the attitude, I'm praying toward my Father in heaven. So prayer should, as a whole, not be certainly a display. And then he says in verse 7, it should be simple. Don't use vain repetitions. Don't say the same words over and over again. Just saying words isn't going to get God's attention. You don't have to keep repeating a thing over and somehow think you're going to wear him down if you say it often enough. And just saying a form isn't going to get God's attention. You know, there are some religions, like, for example, in India and in Tibet and some of those areas, where they'll have prayer wheels. And people will put a prayer on, and they'll think they'll spin the wheel, or sometimes, I guess, the wind will even spin it. And they will think every time it goes around, somehow this gets God's attention. The more it's repeated, you know, the more it goes over and over, somehow God is going to hear. Listen, our God doesn't need a hearing aid. You know, he's not hard of hearing. He doesn't have any problem listening. And you don't have to just keep repeating. And just a form, Jesus says, just an empty form means nothing. I grew up in a church where we always said the Lord's Prayer over and over and over. And yet, most of us weren't even Christians. We just said it. There were so many words. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our earth as it is in heaven. We rattled it off. And we didn't even think of what we were saying. And I didn't pray. As many times as I said the Lord's Prayer before I accepted the Lord as my own Savior, I never once prayed. I never prayed. I never entered into it with my heart. There were words. Words that I was saying over with the whole congregation, because everyone did it and it was part of our service. And so the Lord here warns against that. He says, be simple in your prayers. Now, he gives what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer, but he gives it, but not as something that's to be done just as a form. that we rattle off. He doesn't say, pray this prayer. He says, pray in a similar way. In other words, pray about these things, these kinds of things. So he isn't saying to us, now the only way you can pray is to say these words over, because if we did that, then we would be doing the very thing he warned against, just repeating something. And you know, if you repeat the same thing over and over again, it begins to no longer have meaning. For example, if I would go to my wife every day and say the same words in the same tone, if I would say, honey, I love you, that sounds good the first time. But if I said it in the same tone, at the same time, even the same hour, every day, you know, after a while she'd say, hey, look, can't you say it in any other way? Or do you mean it? Or what? You know? Because it would have become a form, she would feel, and because I'm just repeating it, it no longer had the same meaning. So what the Lord is saying here is be simple and be direct in your prayers. Doug?
You can just put it on tape and you wouldn't even have to be there.
Yeah, you're right. And sometimes in religion, it's easy to fall into that. Because it's the easy thing to do. It doesn't require any concern. You can say words. And if you feel somehow, now this is going to impress God, it's an easy thing to do. But listen, if my wife isn't impressed by my saying just the same words in the same tone over and over, God isn't going to be impressed either. He wants prayers from the heart, simple prayers. Now the things he tells us to pray about in this prayer are beautiful and simple. He says you're to pray our Father. When you come to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've got this relationship with Him. You can pray. You don't have to come and say a long title, O Almighty God, Maker of Heaven and Earth. You know, you don't have to stand far off and yell at Him or something like this to get His attention. He says you can come just as a child and say our Father. Just run up to him like a child to his daddy. And you can say, Father. So there's a closeness and an intimacy there that's beautiful. The Jews weren't familiar with that. But here Jesus is telling his disciples, you remember now, you and your relationship with God, he's your Father, and you can come just, with that confidence of a little child to his Father. You can say, our Father. It's beautiful. Hallowed be your name. May your name be sanctified, set apart, reverenced. Your kingdom come. There's a desire here for the Lord to come back, to set up his kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Longing for God's will, concerned for spiritual things. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. Pray about your daily needs. You don't need to pray for food for the next 10 years, but he says you need food for today. Give us this day our daily bread. And to have that spirit of dependence on the Lord. Everything we get from Him. Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not lead us into temptation. A spirit of dependence. You know, I was mentioning earlier, talking with Larry about a drinking problem. And I said to him, Larry, you know, while you're in the hospital here, it'd be a good thing if you would just, before the Lord, say, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to be through with that thing. And Larry said to me, he says, I don't know. He says, I can't trust myself. Well, I said, that's good. No Christians can trust themselves, you know. Christians don't trust themselves. They trust the Lord. Paul says Christians are those who put no confidence in the flesh. And our faith and our confidence is in the Lord. So we can pray here in dependence. We don't want to be led into temptation. We're trusting you to deliver us from evil, Lord, from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. A beautiful, simple prayer. And the Lord said, you pray that kind of prayer. And so he doesn't tell us to just repeat the same words in a meaningless way, but he says, as you pray, think about these different things. You pray for the Lord to come back. Pray for His will to be done in your life and in the world. You can pray for your daily needs. You can ask forgiveness for your faults, for your failures. And you can ask the Lord to guard you from sin and to lead you along. So it's a beautiful, simple prayer, isn't it? Now, another thing he mentions about prayer. He says prayer should be sincere. Now, you're asking God. You come as a child of His, and yet you're not perfect, so you have to daily come to Him and say, Father, I need forgiveness. I have failed. I have sinned. And different ways we ask for forgiveness. But Jesus says, you're going to have to be forgiving yourself if you're going to ask God to forgive you. It's hard to forgive others. But he says, if you really have experienced God's forgiveness, then you can forgive others. So he says here, you be forgiving. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And so when we come to know the forgiveness of God, and when we come to Him and we say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not perfect yet. I have my faults and my failures. Forgive me and strengthen me. He says, you better have a forgiving attitude toward others. You're asking God to do something for you. You must also say, Lord, enable me to forgive others and to have that kind of a spirit. So as he tells them how to pray, he says, pray in secret, basically. Most of your prayer life should be a private thing with God. Pray simply. Pour out your heart to Him. You're His child. Pray simply. Sometimes when a person is first saved, I've had people say, I don't know how to pray. I say, you're just talking to God. Tell Him what's on your heart. And recently I prayed with a man who had professed to be saved, and the first time I'd heard him pray, all he could say was, well, thank you, Lord. That was all he said. Thank you, Lord. That was the length of his prayer. Well, that was certainly simple, and it was short. It wasn't repetitious. He just said, thank you, Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to know the grace of God and be thankful. So he encourages us here to have the right kind of attitude in prayer. The next area he takes up is the area of fasting. And the Jews had their all kinds of times when they would fast and so forth. The thing was, they made a big show of it. And many times it was laid on them. They had to do this to be religious and so forth. Certain fasts on certain days. And you might see a man, and he'd come along looking very sad with a long face. He hadn't shaved that morning, looking just very downcast. And he'd say, well, what's the problem? I'm fasting. This is my day to fast. People would say, oh, you poor man, you know, how religious you are. You're going without food to please God. Jesus says, that doesn't please God at all. You wanted someone to notice how religious you were, and they noticed it, didn't they? They noticed it. How anxious we are to have people notice how religious we are. Bill McDonald yesterday was mentioning how there was a beggar in India, and he was sitting there with ashes on his head and in sackcloth. And a tourist came along, camera taking pictures, and the tourist came up and said, may I take your picture? And the beggar said, just a minute, let me arrange my ashes. He wanted to look very good for the picture. Let me arrange my ashes so that he looked very religious, you know, and like he was really suffering here for his religion. Well, the Lord said, look, if you want to fast, if you want to miss a meal so you can spend more time praying, fine. Do it for God. But don't do it to impress other people. And you do what you're doing with an eye to pleasing God and not getting recognition from people. So there's some very practical things there, aren't there? And you know, I was thinking about how, as we think of praying, there's a kind of a beginning prayer that we have to make. I remember saying prayers as I was growing up. We said grace at our table. That's what we called it. And it was supposed to be thanks. But it was a canned prayer. We said the same thing every time. was trying to think of the exact words. Many times I said it, I can't remember it right now. But anyway, God is great, God is good, now we thank thee for this food, or something like this, you know. We would say a little prayer every time before our meal. And then when I would go to bed when I was little, my mother taught me to pray, and she would say, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep." And I said those words, you know, over. And then we said the Lord's Prayer. If someone would say, "Well, let us pray," probably they would mean, "Let's all say the Lord's Prayer together." We'd say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we would go through the words. And yet I really have to say, I never prayed. I said words, but I didn't pray. When you pray in the scriptural sense, you're really talking to God. You're not just trying to impress people, or you're not doing what the group is doing. You're talking with God. And I want to turn to Luke 18 and just notice here an example of prayer. And this will be the last scripture I think we'll read. Luke 18 and verse 9. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus says, "I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Two men praying. Quite a difference in their prayers. The one is praying the kind of prayer Jesus warned against. It said that he went up into the temple and he stood. He stationed himself and he prayed. And he's aware other people are watching me. And I'm taking this religious position and I am praying. And if you'd stood near, you could have heard his prayer. Jesus said this is the way he prayed. He began thanking God for how good he was. And really congratulating God on having such a good person to pray to him. No, wasn't this what he said? He said, "I thank you, God, I'm not like other men." These men around me. Maybe he looked over at the tax collector, and there this man is standing in a corner hoping almost no one will see him. And he looks around all these others. He says, "Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like the rest of these people. You've got a gem here." And then he goes on to talk about how good he is. Says, "I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers." Then he says, "I fast twice a week. I'm religious. I give 10% of everything I get. I've been generous, giving to the work of God." And he tells God how good he is. And the other one, Jesus says, here's a tax collector, and he's standing over there in the corner, and he just feels miserable. And he beats on his chest. And he just says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Probably doesn't even feel he should be in the place. Doesn't even feel he should be in the temple. He says, "I'm just a sinner." And he says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was a broken man. He didn't say to God, "God, you know, I've been so good." He didn't look at the other man. You know, when you're standing before God, you quit looking at people, if you're really standing there. You're not looking at anyone else. And all this tax collector could see was himself, and he said, "I'm a sinner, and I've been dishonest in my tax collecting, and I'm just no good, Lord, and all I can claim is your mercy. Will you have mercy on a sinner like me? Will you save a sinner like me? God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It's a cry of desperation, isn't it? It's really a cry from his heart. I don't think anyone would say, well, now he was saying these words to impress anyone.
He wasn't trying to impress anyone. He wasn't even thinking of others. He didn't even care whether people thought he's kind of making a fool of himself, beating on his chest. He probably wept a little bit and cried, and here he's crying to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man was the one God heard. He didn't hear the other man at all. Wasn't interested in seeing someone stand there for a display and tell him how good he was. But he saw this man who, in all of his need, as a sinner, cried out to God and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, save me. And you know, that's the first prayer, really, we have to make. We just come as sinners. We're lost. Some of us are more broken by sin than others. But we're all sinners. And we stand before God and we just say, oh Lord, I've sinned. And we stand there believing that God loves us. And we stand there believing Christ died for us. And we say, oh Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. I'm a sinner, but you died for sinners. And you know, this morning I just wonder if we've all ever prayed that prayer. Maybe you can say, well, I've prayed lots of prayers. You've said prayers, you know.
Maybe you can repeat the Lord's Prayer by heart. But have you ever been, you know, really stood before God as a sinner, been troubled about your sin, about your failure, about your wrong thinking, about your pride, about your lust, about the sins that you've done? Have you ever stood before God just broken, with nothing to tell God about your goodness, but only just broken because of your sin? And have you just cried out to Him, Lord, save me? Now, if you've done that, you know, Jesus died on the cross to pay for every sin. And He saves. He listens to the cry of anyone who cries like that. But as long as we're telling Him about how good we are, and as long as we think that we're good religious people, God says, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You don't see your need. But it's when we see that we're sinners and we realize we're weak, and we need God. We need the Lord Jesus. We need to be saved. And when we from our hearts say, oh Lord, save me, you know, He's just as quick as that to hear that. He hears that prayer quickly. And so Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified. In other words, he went down with his sins forgiven. Right with God, because he took the place of a sinner and he cried out in all of his need. I hope you've been at that place. You know, in a few weeks, it's going to be my spiritual birthday. And I was saved in Tucson, Arizona, just as a young man in high school. I can remember the afternoon I heard the gospel that day for the first time. And I remember I was troubled about my sin. And I still remember how the truth gripped me. Well, God loves me. And Christ died for me. And God says He'll forgive me if I'll take His Son, if I'll trust Him. And I remember that afternoon just saying, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Save me. You died for me. And the Lord heard my prayer. And I was saved. I wonder if you've been saved. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord and know your sins are forgiven.